Welcome to The Grill Room. On the menu this week, all the latest news, views, and opinions from the world of professional golf. Your maitre d's are Bob Bubka and Alex Maselli, two friends who rarely agree on anything. You can count on them to give you both sides of the story, whether you want it or not. So come on in, have a seat, and remember, anything that comes from the grill room is definitely on our tab. And remember, keep your applause to a mild clap, all right? After all, we're talking golf here.
Well, can you believe it? It's here, the final event of the 2014-2015 PGA Tour season, the Tour Championship by Coca-Cola. Hi, everyone. I'm Bob Bubka, here with Alex Maselli. And Alex, hard to believe, we're at the end. It seems like yesterday we were beginning this season.
Well, I think more about Hawaii. That seems like it was yesterday. But, technically it starts at Fry's, and that seems like a long time ago.
No, you're right about Hawaii. I don't think there's anything that, you know, can be released by the tour or officially this is the start of the season. For you and I, because of tradition and for so many years, we've been fortunate enough to get to go to Maui, and it was the season opening event. For me, that is the true start of the season.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, if you had the optimum situation, the season would have ended, as we've always talked about in the past, on Labor Day with the Tour Championship, and the fall would have just been the fall, and we'd start right back up after the Super Bowl, which is really the time we should start back up, but maybe a little earlier, with the first event of the season, and that's how it should be. But, you know, there's way too much money involved and everything else for that to happen anymore.
All right, we got a lot to talk about in the show, but just a couple of loose ends that I'd like to bring up before we get to the meat of the matter on this show. And first and foremost, I was thinking over the weekend, Alex, while I was watching the Solheim Cup, and I'm saying to myself, wait a minute, there's no Lydia Ko, there's no NB Park. Then when there's the Ryder Cup, there's no Jason Day. When there's the President's Cup, there's no Rory McIlroy. And I just couldn't get out of my mind that all these big team events are really outdated now.
Well, I mean, yes and no. I don't think you could build, I don't think the event would be better. Ryder Cup, as an example, would be better if we added more players. It's a competitive event. It's got a lot of drama. It's got a lot going on. I don't think adding what would be the internationals to the mix is going to make the Ryder Cup any better. In fact, actually, it could actually deter from the Ryder Cup. It could actually make it a worse product than a better product. On the Solheim Cup side, I understand what you're saying, but again, I think if you add the Koreans to the mix, at least currently, I think the interest level in the event would go down because the Koreans would win all the time. I mean, they are just a better group of players. And so if you add Asia and, you know, and whatever would be the international side to that, Asia and Australia, all of a sudden you'd have a Solheim Cup which nobody would care about. And, you know, I think this one, even though it had its own issues, this was a very compelling event that you were willing to watch. And I don't know if that would have been the case if there had been players from other countries.
And the other thing, now I'm watching the promos for the President's Cup, and it's being billed the United States against the rest of the world. But it's not really that.
No, I mean, you know, you can't beat them up because they don't know how to market. Tiger committed to Fry's, and then a week later he's not going, but I'm sure they printed a lot of things and started doing promotion that said Tiger was going to be there. I mean, it's just how it is. Look, the President's Cup is a different animal, completely different product. It's not even an offshoot of the Ryder Cup. And it still has a lot of long ways to go. Just it takes a long time to build interest in these cups, just like it did to build interest in the Ryder Cup. I mean, right now the Solheim Cup is certainly a comparable product to the Ryder Cup. The President's Cup is not.
So it's a completely different ball of wax. On a completely different subject, before we get to the show, Alex, a friend of mine who actually was a pallbearer for Harvey Penick dropped me a little note that Kevin Robbins is writing a brand new book on Harvey Penick. It's supposed to come out in conjunction with the match play, which is going to be held at the Austin Country Club. But I also discovered, and I didn't know this, and maybe you know it, Davis Love III actually took lessons from Harvey because his dad also took lessons from Harvey.
I did know that. And I'm, you know, when you said it, I was aware of that, but I don't know why I do that. But it'd be interesting to see because, I mean, Austin Country Club is supposed to be a really nice venue. But the problem is there going to be there's not going to be a lot of people on the grounds because they just don't have the room for them. So it's going to be a very tough ticket to get in Austin. But it'll be interesting to see what happens, and I'd be interested to see the book too.
Yeah, they're going to be making some changes there, and all the members are certainly excited about it. Well, before we go any further, we must congratulate Jason Day, Alex, on his rise to number one in the World Golf Rankings. Also to the U.S. Solheim Cup, you alluded to it a moment ago on their team coming from behind. We'll have a lot more on the Solheim Cup in just a bit. Also, I want to take a brief grill room minute to wish Tiger Woods all the best on his recovery from his second back operation. I detected that he was limping when he was playing down at Wyndham. A lot of people argued with me saying he wasn't limping. Apparently he was, and we're hoping that maybe this last surgery is going to clean up any of the medical problems. But you know better than anybody, Alex. There's no bigger Tiger Woods fan in the world than yours truly. But when I start looking at the total package of the operations on his leg, two operations on his back, 40 years old, as hard as he swings, I mean, it's and he's over. You know, I don't know. I mean, you talk about comebacks of the century. I'm starting to think that if he does come all the way back, it'll be a comeback that we'll be talking about for the ages.
Well, I mean, you hate to see him have to have another surgery. And from my sources, which I'm sure are different than your sources, he was having problems with his hip, and I think that was really the problems in the hip. His hip was this piece of bone that was hitting his nerve in his back. That's what they removed. But look, just the fact that he had to have another surgery on top of everything else that's gone on with him. You know, it took him a while to recover from the last surgery. It wasn't necessarily, you know, the back part, but just the fact that he had surgery. I mean, they had to go in there and do whatever. So right now, the anticipation is that he's not going to be back. I mean, what's funny is that they said right up front, he's not going to be back the rest of the year. He's not going to make it to Hero, which is the next event he was in. He could have played in Fry's and some of the other fall events, but he wasn't going to play in any of those now. And he's not going to play in Hero. So that means the next event he could possibly play in would be the Career Builder in the desert in the middle of January. The assumption is, though, he probably won't play until Torrey Pines, which will be like the third week of January. Now, people may remember that was when he had to withdraw after, let's see, it was 9, 10, 11 holes on the par 3 because of stiffness, and then he didn't come back for a while. So, you know, the bottom line is that he'll be 40. He'll have had more surgeries than anybody I can think of that plays professional golf. And the assumption that he's going to be able to come back, I think, is come back anywhere close to where he was is a pretty far-fetched.
And, of course, as I alluded to, Alex, I mean, the rate that he tries to swing a golf club, I mean, because people say to me, well, look at Fred Couples, how long he lasted with a bad back. But when you look at Fred Couples' swing and the tempo that he uses and it's, you know, it's nowhere near the rate of acceleration that Tiger puts in, especially with his driver.
Well, and the thing is he's, and even with that, You know, there's a lot of question about his swing and his game. You know, he never was a great, once the equipment changed, he was never a great driver of the golf ball. When we were playing steel shafts, precision heads, he was a good driver of the golf ball, one of the best. But once equipment changed, he was not. And he still hasn't been. And now you add in that even when he does hit the fairway, he's hitting at 300, which is great. But Jason Day had averaged over 312 yards at Conway Farms this week. Tiger can't keep up with those guys, which will continually mess with his head because he is one of those guys that strives to be as long as possible.
Well, I don't think there's anybody on the PGA Tour right now that can keep up with Jason Day off the tee, and I'm included. I'm including in that the name of Roy McIlroy, who hits it a long way, but Day somehow has found another gear, and he is just really getting it out there.
Yeah. The Grill Room is proud to be doing our part to entertain the active men and women in our military, as well as our veterans, as part of Armed Forces Radio Network.
And just a reminder, you're listening to The Grill Room, and it's powered by GolfBlot.com, heard on TuneIn Radio and the Armed Forces Radio Network. Chicago, our first stop as we go around the world of golf.
The Grill Room.
I'd like to welcome some of the most important people in golf to The Grill Room. Golf course superintendents. Golf course superintendents are the unsung heroes of our great game. Due to the game's efforts, we now have turf that needs less water, courses that are more sustainable, with many that now offer natural wildlife habitats. From the days of old Tom Morris, golf course superintendents have given golfers a reason to love this great game. But don't take my word for it. Jordan Spieth agrees.
If you love golf like I do, you'll thank your golf course superintendent.
A message from the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America and local superintendents everywhere.
Make Coolbrella the next purchase for your golf bag. The Coolbrella is instant portable shade. It's an umbrella that reflects the sun, offering portable, effective protection from the sun. Whether playing or spectating, the Coolbrella protects from the harsh rays of the sun while providing a cool, comfortable shade. For more information on the perfect gift for you or any golfer, log on to Coolbrella.com. That's K-O-O-L-B-R-E-L-L-A.com. Coolbrella, instant shade and all-weather comfort.
Welcome back to The Grill Room. Your table's ready. Now here's Bob Bubka and Alex Maselli.
Well, we promised him, Alex, that we have to deliver. Let's go to the PGA Tour and the BMW Championship. Jason Day wins again. He's now on top of the world, the golf world especially, goes to number one in the world golf rankings. And before we even discuss that, Alex, let's give a listen to what Jason Day had to say about his rise to number one.
I don't know. I just always had a vision of me standing on top of the earth when I was a kid and know that right now there's no one on this planet that's better than me. That's pretty cool. that I'm, out of all the golfers that are in the world playing right now, that I'm the best. And that just, it's such a good feeling. That's kind of what I was thinking back when I was a little kid. But to be able to do that, I don't know, it feels surreal right now that I just still feel like what I did yesterday or the day, you know, before that. I'm still a regular guy that is really good at hitting a golf ball.
You know, I think that's very well put, Alex, and I think Jason Day deserves a lot of credit. He says, I'm just better at hitting a golf ball right now than anybody in the world, but I'm still a regular guy.
Well, that's true. That is true, first of all, that he is a regular guy. He has not, none of this has changed him at all, or his wife, or his son, Dash. I mean, they're all still the same people that you knew back when he was trying to figure it out. And then secondly, he is absolutely right. And I have to say that some of his success may have to do with the equipment that he's playing. I mean, TaylorMade has built their drivers to be as long as possible. And he put a new M1 in the bag this week, and he clearly was just hammering it. I mean, so much further than other players. And the other thing is that what I think should make the golf world a little concerned is Jason Day, I think it might have been after the second round or the third round, just basically said, I don't care where it goes. I just want it to go as far as possible. And if it's in the rough, that's fine with me. I can play out of the rough. And that really should be a concern for the golf governing bodies, because now all of a sudden these guys can control the ball like they did very well, especially in the wet conditions at Conway Farms out of the rough. There's nothing stopping them.
Yeah, that's kind of sad because, number one, it takes a lot of golf courses really out of play if players can take that attitude. One great thing about Jason Day, though, Alex, he does give credit where credit's due.
When I was walking down after the second shot into 18, I knew that I had a 5-shot lead. It would have been a very disastrous, shots coming in if I would have lost the lead from there. So kind of walking up, and I was right before the creek, walking up to the green. That's when we started talking about it, me and Cole, and started really understanding what the situation really was about. And, I mean, it was just kind of, it's been a goal of ours, personally, me and myself, Colin. I mean, he should be in the Hall of Fame back home and as a PGA a teaching professional, but I mean, to take a 12-year-old kid from nothing and turn him into the best golfer in the world is a pretty nice achievement. So I mean, I have him to thank a lot of this too.
I like hearing that, Alex, and I don't think I'm in the camp of people that really don't think that Colin gets the credit that he really deserves. He's outstanding for Jason Day. Golly, I mean, he was his best man at his wedding. He's his caddy. He's his teacher. I mean, that's a rare combination of things to be for somebody carrying the bag.
Well, it is, and I think what's important is you need somebody that you can really rely on out there, and that relationship that he has with Colin is really clearly special. And, it's a similar relationship that some other players have with their caddies. But I think because Jason pretty much grew up with Colin, it's probably a little different bond than, like, even with Jordan Spieth and Michael Kreller, because Jordan didn't know Michael when he was a young kid. And I think that really makes a difference. And it's one of the things where I think Jason just relies on Colin and knows he's going to be there. So it really is a partnership.
He's the third Aussie to be number one in the world. Greg Norman did it, Adam Scott, but Jason Day, certainly the youngest at 28 years old. 19th different player to be number one in the world golf rankings since they were created. By the way, Alex, you had to be impressed with rookie Daniel Berger, solo second.
Well, people forget that he had a playoff loss to Padraig Harrington at Honda. And when he had that loss, you saw the kid, and it's like, boy, I mean, he was extremely confident. I mean, I think if people wanted to use the word cocky, they could have. But he was extremely confident about not only what he had done that week, but what was going to happen going forward in the rest of the season. And the season never really panned out the way I think that Daniel Berger was hoping. In fact, Bobby, since Memorial, he missed every cut of every tournament he played in until he got to BMW.
I mean, that's pretty amazing. And now he's the only rookie to make it into the Tour Championship. As we move along in the grill room, let's talk about some of the other guys. Jordan Spieth, certainly in the latter portion of the season, nowhere near how he shined in the earlier part of the season.
There's no question about that, but, here's a guy that at least made the cut this week, even though there wasn't a cut. He's starting to get his game back. I think he just needed some time off. It was just he put too much a very difficult schedule together this year that probably was not anticipating winning two majors. I think you might see a somewhat of an adjusted schedule in 2015-2016. At the same time, Rory McIlroy, who finished fourth and is now his 11th in the FedEx Cup standings, he's very fresh after having to sit out for some time because of the left ankle injury. And I think that freshness is starting to help him. And you started to see some good signs from Rory. But, you know, it's interesting because you're going to get Jordan and you're going to get Rory, you're going to get Jason Day, all of them playing in the Tour Championship this week. None of them have won at East Lake. And I think one of them is going to have to win at East Lake to go ahead and win the FedEx Cup.
Well, somebody that certainly perched to do just that, Ricky Fowler. He's third in the FedEx Cup standings. And I don't know if we mentioned it earlier. Let me mention it again for our listeners. If you're in the top five in FedEx Cup points when we get to East Lake this week, and you go on and win at East Lake, you win the FedEx Cup and the $10 million.
Not a bad gig, is it?
They'll be in your pay grade, I'll tell you that much. Henrik Stenson, he's fourth in the FedEx Cup standings, and he has won at East Lake before, and somebody that obviously could win this week in a blink.
Well, that's right. And what's funny about Stenson is he's been at East Lake only one time in his career. So, and he was one for one. So we'll see if he's two for two. And then, of course, the last guy in that group of five is Bubba Watson, who has finished 10th this week at BMW. You know, Bubba is playing well enough to win there. He's had success there. Again, not one there. But I think one of these five is going to win the FedEx Cup, and they're going to have to win the Tour Championship to do it.
All right, let's move on our journey around the world. Mr. Maselli, we go to the European Tour and the Italian Open.
Yeah, 23-year-old Swede Rickard Karlsson won in a playoff, two-hole playoff over Martin Keimer. Clearly not Keimer's year this year, losing his card on the PGA Tour, now can't win a playoff against a 23-year-old in Italy. But they are going to Germany, I think, this week, so maybe Keimer going back home, it's going to be a positive for him.
All right, the Solheim Cup. A lot made over an incident involving Suzanne Pedersen. And, you know, I don't know. It was all about, whether a putt was conceded and wasn't conceded. I've been given some thought, Alex. In these team competitions, Ryder Cup, President's Cup, Solheim Cup, why not just, you know, eliminate the other team being able to concede a putt, and then we wouldn't have a situation like this?
Well, I mean, you could say that, but, I mean, let's be honest. If we let's take Suzanne Pedersen out of the mix. I mean, it started with a U.S. player, Allison Lee, picking up her ball. Now, you know, unless you're absolutely 100% sure, you never pick up your ball. I mean, that's just a given. Ricky Fowler, as a rookie in Wales in the Ryder Cup, did the same thing, not on the concession, but he picked up his ball in a situation where he thought he got relief, and he didn't, and it cost him and Jim Furyk, it didn't cost him the hole, but it eventually cost him the match because of that, because they would have won the hole. So, you know, rookies do things like this all the time, and again, I wasn't there, but my understanding is that her playing partner, I said to her, Allison, don't pick it up. But by the time Brittany Lindsecombe had said that, Allison had already picked up the ball. So that being said, that's a mistake she should never have done. Now, it's 16 inches. She thinks she hears something that says it's good. You got the other part of the equation where you got Charlie Hull walking off the green in a way that is clear to everybody that's watching that she's walking off to the green to the 18th green, not what she said later, which was, I was walking over to Suzanne to ask her if she was going to give the putt or not, which is total garbage. So then you got Suzanne, who could have done the right thing, not legally, but morally, let's put it that way, could have just said, hey, just put it back down and putt it if you really wanted her to putt it, or just, no, it was going to be good, so that's okay. Of course she doesn't do that. Now, you know, we want to chastise her. And I understand that people want to take that position. But when Jack Nicklaus gave his putt to Tony Jacklin in the Ryder Cup, and what is known as the concession, Sam Snead, his captain, reamed him for doing that. okay? And the putt was a heck of a lot shorter, I think a little shorter than this. And then secondly, there were players on his team after the fact that said they don't know why Jack gave that putt. So this has been a constant issue in cup matches from a long time. And, you know, I just think that, you know, it added a little flavor to an event that wasn't bad, but was played so slowly that they started calling it the Slowheim Cup. Because I don't know what it is with women's golf, but they just don't seem to know how to play quick enough anymore. And they're losing fans because of it.
All right, let me get back to one thing you said, because I don't want to confuse our listeners. Tony Jacklin's putt was about 7 feet. I mean, it wasn't a putt that anybody would ever concede.
Obviously, someone did.
Well, yeah, but for different reasons, not because, you know, normally a putt's conceded because the opponent figures there's no way he's possibly going to miss that, unless Jack Nicklaus thought Tony Jacklin was the best putter that ever walked the face of the earth, and he can't possibly miss a 7-footer. He did it for sportsmanship reasons and is to be congratulated. Let's wrap it up with this. Suzanne Pedersen did release an apology on Monday, actually saying that she allowed her desire to win to get in the way of good sportsmanship and the broader picture bettering the game of golf. I'm happy for her that she came out with that apology. Congratulations to Julie Yingster and everyone on that Solheim Cup team. It was an incredible come-from-behind victory.
Let me just ask you one thing, Bob. Do you really think Suzanne Pedersen wrote those words?
I don't know, but I'm going to give her credit for writing those words. Sometimes on this show, I'm wondering who writes what you say, so I'm a little worried about that. Let's move on. We got so much to talk about, Alex. Web.com Tour, second playoff event. It was the Small Business Connection Championship. Who came out on top?
Chez Reavie, which was kind of a surprise. I kind of thought that he was, you know, in the witness protection program, but obviously not. So he goes to the top of the finals list, and clearly he'll have his card for 2015. It was a bit of a surprise. There was a lot of good players that were playing in these events, and I didn't see Chez, who came out of pretty much nowhere, to win it. So congratulations to him.
Yeah, Chez Reavie, like you said, has been MIA missing in action. All right, time to move on, Alex. And by the way, the Grow Room's Australian Fan Club has raised some questions, and that's going to be our hot topic. You're listening to The Grow Room, powered by GolfBlot.com, heard on TuneIn Radio and the Armed Forces Radio Network. We'll be right back with Hot Topic.
You're listening to The Grow Room.
I'd like to welcome some of the most important people in golf to The Grow Room. Golf course superintendents. Golf course superintendents are the unsung heroes of our great game. Due to the game's efforts, we now have turf that needs less water, courses that are more sustainable, with many that now offer natural wildlife habitats. From the days of old Tom Morris, golf course superintendents have given golfers a reason to love this great game. But don't take my word for it. 2015 PGA champion Jason Day agrees.
If you love golf like I do, thank a golf course superintendent.
A message from the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America and local superintendents everywhere.
Sight is one of our most valued senses. Many cherished memories and important life lessons are acquired through sight. Through the Transitions Healthy Sight for Life Fund, we're reaching out in communities around the world to help people understand and protect their healthy sight. Think about what you'd miss seeing if you lost your eyesight tomorrow, and take steps to protect your vision today. See more at HealthySightForLife.org.
Welcome back to The Grill Room. Your table's ready. Now here's Bob Bubka and Alex Maselli.
Hot topic, we're talking about hot topic, you see.
As I mentioned, The Grill Room's Australian Fan Club, spearheaded by its president, Anthony Lewis, has raised some questions about the FedEx Cup playoff system, keeping in mind Jason Day is a proud Aussie, and they're very proud of him down there. But Anthony poses this question. How can a player win two of the finals and not win the FedEx Cup? It'll seem ridiculous that Jason can lose the FedEx Cup to anybody else. Your thought, Alex?
Well, first of all, you have to understand, Anthony, that this is a playoff system. And as you move along, the better team should win. But sometimes, because it's a playoff system, the team that's not better wins. And in this particular case, we've had this once before where we went to Atlanta and Vijay Singh had done the same thing as you're discussing, winning two times. And the way the system worked then is nobody could catch him. So nobody cared what happened in Atlanta. It was very anticlimactic. So that's why the system is built to allow for someone to come from behind, even though they could not win one event of the first three events, but win the Tour Championship and win the FedEx Cup. And that's just the nature of the business. I mean, that's what this is. You can't assume it's something other than just that. It's a business, and you got to have an interest level.
You know, it's fascinating. The last guy in, and congratulations to Harris English, because the last 2 years, he finished 31st and 32nd, never got down there. This year, he does finish 30th by rolling in an unbelievable birdie putt on his last hole at Conway Farms. But I was looking at, because they say everybody that shows up at Eastlake has a chance to win the FedEx Cup. How about this one, Alex? Harris English can win the FedEx Cup if Jason Day finishes 29th or worse. I mean, 30 players in the field, he has to finish 29th or worse. How confident do you think Harris English is in winning the FedEx Cup?
Well, and the thing you have to add to that is Harris English would have to actually win the Tour Championship as well.
Oh, yeah, I forgot that part. He'd have to come in first. Jason Day would have to finish 29th or 30th. Unbelievable. But anyway, we love our fan club down in Australia, and go Aussies, Aussies, Aussies. Probably only poetic justice if Jason Day wins down in Atlanta, takes home the $10 million. The only thing I'm fearful of, Jason Day, he's expecting his second child. He wins this. He's number one in the world. He may write a farewell letter to every one of us saying, hey, been great knowing you guys. I'm just going to go enjoy myself.
Well, but I think he enjoys himself doing this, so that's why I don't foresee that happening. But, you know, just like with anybody else, you know, someone can just decide that enough is enough. I mean, the Italian girl won the U.S. Open in Flushing Meadows a couple weeks ago. Once she won her first major, she said, I'm retiring.
Well, hey, can I get you to commit? First time you win your first major, you'll retire. Oh, nobody rooting for you harder than me right now. Time now. Let's check out what's next on the schedule, and let's begin with the European Tour.
Wow. Well, the Porsche European Open, with a new sponsor of the European Open being Porsche, has played at the Breckenbauer Golf Course in Germany. And, you know, like I said earlier, you got Keimer, who's probably chomping at the bit. Graham McDowell will be there, who's been another guy you haven't seen much of, along with Langer and Jimenez. They will also be in the field. So it ought to be a pretty decent field. As you know, with what's going on here in the U.S., a lot of the European Tour players that are, you know, obviously the top end are playing in the FedEx Cup. Once this is over, they will have their race to Dubai, so most of the European players will then transition back over to Europe, or, you know, if it's going to be the desert or wherever it's going to be for the rest of the year. So this will be the last time you're going to see some of the U.S. players, or the European players playing in the U.S.
All right, let's move on here, Alex. The Web.com Tour Nationwide Children's Hospital Championship in Columbus, Ohio. It's the third event in the finals, if I'm not mistaken.
No, you're right. Third event in the finals. You're playing at the OSU course, and this sets you up. Obviously, as Ches Reba did last week, a win's huge, but you're playing for position, And there's a lot of, as we said, a lot of PGA Tour players playing in position to go ahead and get their card for next year or to solidify their position even better for next year. It's exactly, even though we're not talking about this, it's exactly what Vicky Hurst did on the Symetra Tour this week, where she went ahead and won that event and getting herself in a better position for her card on the LPGA Tour for next year.
All right, and of course, the final event on the PGA Tour, we talked about it earlier, it is the Tour Championship at Eastlake, sponsored by Coca-Cola.
You know, it's a little different, Bobby. They're resetting the points this year in a different way, supposedly giving all 30 players in the field a chance, a mathematical chance. And as you said, yeah, it's mathematical, but in reality, it's not much of a chance for a lot of the players. And we get back to those top five guys, Jason Day, Jordan Spieth, Ricky Fowler, Henrik Stenson, and Bubba Watson. They can determine their own fate. Everybody else has to rely on what they do, determining how where they'll end up in the end. Rory McIlroy's 11th. Jim Furyk coming off of a wrist issue, is 16th. So we'll see what happens there. But I have to be honest with you. I just continue to think that one of the winners is going to come out of the top five.
Well, speaking of the winner coming out of the top five, on behalf of our listeners that believe everything you say, I feel sorry for them. Who are you picking to win? And be careful if you're going to go out on that big limb with Rory McIlroy. Don't venture out there.
No, I'm not going with Rory, but I do like Ricky, and I do like Jordan actually. You know, Jason Day is playing so well, it's certainly possible. But, you know, sometimes you just kind of can't keep it going, at least to that level. So I like one of the other two guys. How about yourself, Bobby? What are you thinking?
Well, wait a minute. You got to pick one. You're not getting two.
Oh. All right, well, then I'm going to go with Ricky.
Okay, if you're going to go with Ricky, I'm going to go with the guy that you educated me to the fact that this is only the second time that he's made it down to Atlanta. Last time he came out on top. I'm looking for Henrik Stenson to get the job done. He'll be putting another $10 million in that bank. Boy, his bank must be awfully happy that Henrik Stenson's a professional golfer and is involved in the FedEx Cup playoffs.
You know, Bob, I want to say one other thing before we go. I went ahead and looked, you know, since the beginning of the playoffs, which is 2007, Hunter Mahan had played in every playoff event. He's going to miss Eastlake this year, first event he'll miss ever. With all the money he earned from winnings and the bonus money he earned, he still was over $1 million short of what Henrik Stenson won just for winning the FedEx Cup alone in 2013.
It goes to show you, nothing beats winning.
Well, that's it for this week. You're listening to The Grill Room, heard on TuneIn Radio and the Armed Forces Radio Network, powered by GolfBlock.com. By the way, The Grill Room is also available on iTunes, SoundCloud, Audio Boom, and of course, on our website, TheGrillRoom.com.
A big thank you to our partners, the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America, to IonLoop, and TheGolfBlock.com. So for Janice Self, our executive producer, and Alex Bowtie Maselli, and myself, Bob Bubka, a big thank you for being part of our Grill Room family. Please follow us on Twitter at TGR Golf and on Facebook at The Grill Room Golf Show.
Thanks for spending some time in The Grill Room. No need to leave a tip. Just come back again next week. The Grill Room.